Let's get started with some scripture here. We'll look first of all in 1 Corinthians. What we're doing here is parts 3 and 4. We'll be doing right now part 3 of Christ's two-stage commissioning of Paul. And if we look in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 17, "For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me." And a lot of people take that to mean like a thing is committed to him, or a box with orders in it, or something is handed to him. It's a dispensation is a dispensing. That which is being dispensed is the dispensation. So it's not a mysterious word. It's like going to the drugstore, and if you buy a case of water, you've taken a dispensation of water. They've dispensed the water to you. Paul was saying that Christ committed to him to dispense that gospel. What gospel? The next verse specifies which gospel Christ had commissioned Paul to dispense at that time. And it's important to believe what it says. What is my reward then? This is 1 Corinthians 9:18. "Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel." So, let's go on. He's to dispense this gospel, and there are some idiosyncrasies, differences between that and what he was later told to do. You can't just sweep it under the rug and say, well, it's all the same. The gospel of Christ had to do with Christ's early sending of Paul to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It was God's unprophesied answer to God's prophesied work in Israel. And I put work in quotes for emphasis, because that's the word he used in the Old Testament. It was prophesied, that part. The mystery was not prophesied. But if we look in Habakkuk 1:5, "Behold you among the heathen and regard and one excuse me behold you among the heathen and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which you will not believe though it be told you." And you see that happening all through Acts, that it was told them and they did not believe, largely. I mean, the majority and leadership of Israel still went on blaspheming the Holy Ghost and speaking against the Holy Ghost. You can see that in Acts 13:38 through verse 41, four verses here. "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man," and he's just described Jesus and the gospel of God and the death, burial, and resurrection, and he says, "Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets." So Paul, well, let's go on to the next verse. In the prophets, verse 41, Acts 13:41, "Behold, you despisers, and wonder, and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which you will in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you." So Paul tightly links his message and gospel there in Acts 13 with that prophecy. It was not the prophecy. It was not what was prophesied, but it is God's answer to Israel's prophecy about them not believing, and a man being sent to teach it to them, and the work, a work. There's more about the work. And if you recall, Mark, Paul wouldn't accept Mark back in one of his travels because he would not go to the work with them. He quit, you know, went back to what he was doing. Look at Romans 9:28. For this is later now. Acts 13 was in the time period of Acts 13. Romans was written in the time period of Acts 20. What does he say then? For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. There's going to be a quick end to that. It was, as you look back in history, it was about a quarter of a century, about 25 years. And then comes the prison epistles, what they're called prison epistles. I like to call them the post-Acts epistles, because they were part of the second stage of Christ's commissioning of Paul. Pardon me. Now let's look at Christ's later sending of Paul in Acts. Later in Paul's ministry, we can see Christ revealing to Paul about his later, wider, all-man future commissioning of Paul. It's going to be in the future that he's going to be sent to all men. In the future from that time when he commissioned him there. At a later time, Christ said, now later, when I say later, I mean later than when he sent him in this dispensation of the gospel, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. At a later time, Christ said, I will send thee. In other words, he hadn't yet sent him on this second sending, this second stage of it. He is not at that time sending him, but he's telling him that he's going to send him in the future. I will send thee. And it turned out to be the same saving message as the earlier gospel of Christ that he was sent out with. And you can see that in Acts 22 and Acts 20. Acts 20, verse 24 and verse 32. They don't name it that way, but they had to be that. For them to be true, it had to be the same saving message. It was to be in the future when Christ told Paul this, I will send thee. But it's not in the future today, from us today. It's not yet to happen. It happened later in Acts. We're not still watching for it. It already happened. Christ's sending to all men, rather than just sending Paul to the Jew and the Greeks, the Jew and some of the Gentiles. I say some of because if I don't, people will assume it's all the Gentiles, even though that's not what he said and that's not who other places he said he sent him to, like in Acts 26:17, Romans 11:11, Acts 9:15. They all indicate which Jews and Gentiles Christ sent Paul to early in that earlier dispensing of the gospel. Now, don't forget that ascending is not a restriction that he can't preach to other people, or that, you know, if somebody comes in that's not a Jew or a Greek, in the Greek culture of seeking wisdom and knowledge, and specifically the wisdom and knowledge of God. If someone comes in, or comes, if he's preaching out on, you know, in the market in Acts 17 or whatever, and people hear, they can believe and be saved. It's not that you have to be a Jew or a Greek to be saved. It's that Paul was sent to the Jews and the Greeks. And there's a difference. Later on, he was sent to all people. That doesn't mean all people will be saved. But all people have the right to hear and they don't have to go through hoops like believing, you know, God's covenants with Israel, blessing Israel, things like that, that they had to do earlier in Israel's program. Having in Acts 18:22 learned of Christ's future all man commissioning, Paul's Acts period epistles were the ones that were written after that temple vision of Acts 22. They show hints that Paul knew that Christ would send him far to the far off Gentiles. Far hints from there to the far off Gentiles in the near future. And I'm talking about places like Romans 1 verse 5, Romans 1 verses 14 and 15, Romans 3:22, all men, Romans 15:19, and 2 Corinthians 5:19. When we read about Paul's earlier commissioning, we read Acts 22:1-16. 1-16 is Paul's Luke's account of Paul's conversion in Acts 9. That's one of the places. And there are others that we're not going to name right now, but Acts 22:1-16. Well, when you pick up where we left off there in verse 16, if you pick it up in Acts 22 verse 17 and go through 21, it'll show Christ's later, wider, all men future sending of Paul with the same saving message, saving content to the gospel, a different name because it's addressed to different people, to a wider audience. These verses also describe what is called Christ's temple vision to Paul. You can read it, four or five verses there, Acts 22:17-21. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, notice that Paul is not still on the road to Damascus, or in Damascus, or having gone to Arabia and returned to Damascus. This is telling us about another of Paul's trips. In fact, this is probably not Paul's first trip back to Jerusalem after Paul's salvation experience, because it says, when I was come again to Jerusalem. Acts 22:17, and it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even when I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, verse 18, and saw him saying unto me, make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. Well, if you're playing baseball and you're not paying attention and somebody says, heads up, you got to duck right away. You got to get out of the way. Somebody hit a line drive at you or something. Or in golf, somebody yells, four. They're not giving you, arguments about something. They're warning you in a hurry. Make haste. Get thee quickly out of Jerusalem. So, going on. And I said, Paul says, well, Paul, what would Paul be testifying to the Jews or dispensing to the Jews about Jesus Christ that the Jews would not tolerate? What is it that they would not accept, not receive thy testimony concerning me? We see Paul back talking to the Lord here for a couple verses. Paul, don't backtalk. And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. Verse 20, and when the blood of thy martyr, Stephen, was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. In other words, I helped. I don't see anything in there that indicates that he was the ringleader, but so what? He took part in it. He did help. I kept the raiment of them that slew him. He was an accessory and accomplice too, I guess. Verse 21, and he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Now this event happened at a later time. It's not at the time when Paul was going to Damascus to capture, imprison, kill those believing that Jesus was the risen Messiah. At this later time, Christ said that it would be future from then, from that temple vision. It would be in the future from then when he would send Paul far hence to the far-off Gentiles. Paul had to giddy up out of town real quick because the apostate Jews, they were not going to tolerate what Paul would have said that Jesus had told him in the temple vision. Well, I was going to bring up something about another vision that somebody had in Acts 10, but I don't want to confuse things here. there's a similarity, but it's not. It's a different system, a different program. So, we'll do in another study, we'll look at Paul's five trips to Jerusalem. Paul's Jerusalem visit, when he had the temple vision, the one out of those five trips, where he did have that temple vision, would have had to have been his briefest visit to Jerusalem that he made. In fact, when you study it, he came for a feast. So he went, when he got there, he went straight to the temple, and just three words are given to that. And he's skedaddles out of town. But we can determine which trip was the briefest by far. And for this study today, we'll just go to that verse that easily is Paul's briefest visit to Jerusalem. It's Acts 18:22 that we mentioned before. Paul had just come from Corinth, where he named several people that he had water baptized. He was on a fast track to Jerusalem. And Acts 18:22, when he had landed at Caesarea, Caesarea is downhill from Jerusalem, and when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up, so he was climbing uphill to Jerusalem, and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch. Downhill again, down to Antioch. So all it says is saluted the church for that whole visit. After the temple vision, he fled downhill toward Antioch. That was the heads up. Get out of there. Just three words are dedicated to Paul's entire visit to Jerusalem at that time. Saluted the church. So Christ's temple vision to Paul was undoubtedly in Acts 18:22. Paul learned about, he learned a lot in that brief visit to the temple. It was right after that when Paul wrote in the first inspired epistle to Corinth, in Acts, he wrote it in Acts 19, 1 Corinthians, he wrote that Christ sent me not to baptize. Well, he had just baptized some and admitted it, and then he had this temple vision in Acts 18, and here we are reading what he said in Acts 19 in 1 Corinthians. He said, Christ sent me not to baptize. So we don't have the recorded words that Paul used to tell it to, Christ used to tell it to Paul, but that was when the change occurred from, I baptized this one and this one and this one. And then he says, but, you know, in Acts 19, when he wrote 1 Corinthians, he says, Christ sent me not to baptize. In Acts 22:17 through 21, that temple vision, we've read the conversion conversation between Christ and Paul in the temple. In the verses that immediately follow that, we see a stark change in the Jews' attitude The Jews in Jerusalem had no problem with those Greeks, the Gentiles that blessed Israel, coming to the synagogues and blessing Israel with their tithes. Yay, bring them on. But a verse later, in Acts 22:22, after that temple, the report of the temple vision, those same Jews exploded in anger against Paul for claiming that Jesus Christ had told him that he should preach the gospel of salvation to the alien Gentiles that had no respect for God, no respect for Israel or for the covenants. They could not understand how God would save those that he had covenanted to curse in Genesis 12:3. It was a mystery unprophesied to them. The Bible says, God said, God covenanted, I will curse him that curseth thee. That's Genesis 12:3. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Also, okay, in Acts 20, verse 17, before Paul told of his Acts 18:22 temple vision, and he told about it in Acts 22, those verses 17 to 21. But in Acts 20:17, he called the elders from Ephesus down to Miletus, near to where his ship had docked. And Paul made recorded statements in that Miletus meeting that show Christ revealing to Paul about his later, wider, all men future sending, I will send thee, sending of Paul, with that same saving message, yes. That's in Acts 20:24. Look, it says, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. Paul had a course. He had been working on that course. And, well, from Acts 9, he was separated unto the gospel of God. And Acts 9:20 says, straightway in the synagogues he preached that Jesus is Christ. So, from Acts 9 through Acts 20, where he stated this, so that, quote, so that, well, let me put it in line with starting at the beginning of Acts 20:24, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. And so there's something different, something additional coming up here. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Paul told them, he has received a ministry from the Lord Jesus. What do you do when you testify something? You tell it far and wide. You speak it out. You distribute it. You dispense it. Before he revealed in Acts 20:24, before he had revealed it there, Paul had received of the Lord the ministry to dispense the gospel of the grace of God. Look at Romans, written in Acts 20, verse 3, just before he was sent away. sent to the far-off Gentiles. But in Romans 1, verse 5, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for the obedience to faith among all nations for his name. Well, like we said, In Acts, this is Acts 20, in Acts 18:22, he was told that in the future he would be sent to all people. Here he's echoing it. So he hasn't yet been sent, but he has been commissioned that when the time is right, he will be sent there. Also, a few verses later in that same Miletus meeting, we can see parts of an even later sending. Acts 20:32, not a sending of Paul though. And now, brethren, I, that's Paul speaking, I commend you to God In other words, I turn you over to God. I won't be here anymore, but God will build you up with the word of his grace. I commend you to God and the word of his grace. His grace. Not his law, but his grace. I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified or set apart. What word of his grace is able to build you up and is able to give you an inheritance? Is that talking about the gospel of God? No. What word of his grace? Paul was committing the gospel of the grace of God to faithful men who would be able to teach others also. There was an application of 2 Timothy 2:2, the commission that Paul and we are under at the time, at the present time. 2 Timothy 2, chapter 2, verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, and you can just see Paul applying this commission there in Miletus, even before he wrote it down. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, those things, the same, commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And on it goes. The process is exactly what Paul was doing then, and that's what Paul is placing in their hands to do also, to find faithful men to share the gospel with and to help bring to the knowledge of the truth through the word of God. Paul was committing the gospel of the grace of God to faithful men who would go back and teach others also, who would also would become faithful men in the next spiritual generation, developing others as faithful men. And as they, those ones that Paul charged, they went back to Ephesus to apply Acts 20:32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. That process is the Bible's only indication of where the Ephesians came from that Paul later said he heard of, quote, heard of, in Ephesians 1:15. When writing his Ephesian epistle, you can look in Ephesians 1:15, you can see that Paul had to hear about the people that he wrote his Ephesian epistle to. They're not the ones that, quote, wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. You can see here in Acts 20 that Paul has a wider sending. He's not going back to the same circuit, that same circuit around the Mediterranean. He's to go to far hence. Well, that's not a correct statement. He's to go far hence, to far off Gentiles, on a wider circuit to the Gentiles that are not only distantly far off, but doctrinally far off. They don't know who God is, and they need to be taught or told, shared with them the gospel of God, that Jesus is the Son of God, the risen Messiah. And then they need to be told the gospel of salvation, that Christ died for their sins. Their sin, the wages of their sin is death. And Christ died for their sins. So he was buried and rose again the third day. We've been looking at the verses that point out Christ's early commissioning of Paul, and that would be his "I now send thee." It happened in Acts 9, it was his commissioning then, but it's told about in Acts 26:16 through, well, some of the verses are 16 through 19 or 20. It's not clear in my mind right now. It tells, but I can't remember which verse cuts off and starts talking about him being arrested and defending what he told about when during the period that they're arresting him for. But after we read about his early sending, we looked at the verses that point out Christ's later second sending, second stage commissioning of Paul. This time, not only to the Jews and the Greeks in a dispensing of the gospel of Christ, but now to all people in the dispensing of the grace of God. Christ's earlier sending of Paul was not prophetic, not prophesied in Scripture, but the mystery of the body of Christ was involved with the unprophesied side of some prophecies about Israel's rejection of their Messiah. And we'll get to those. One is in Habakkuk that we read earlier. Another is in Deuteronomy. To clarify, though, Paul is not in prophecy. The body of Christ is not in prophecy in the Old Testament. The new man is not in prophecy. Prophecy is regarding Israel. The body of Christ is different from Israel and apart from Israel. They're not the same. They're different. Much different. There are similarities. They are in, the family of God. They're built on the same foundation. It's like a huge square foundation with Israel on one corner, built on one corner of that foundation, and the body of Christ built on the other corner, another corner. But they're not the same. That's how they can be on the same foundation, though. Let's take a break here.